glad to be here today. Amen. Are you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 13 and 14. And you've probably heard this all of your life, but you probably maybe not even heard a sermon on it. I don't know. But in Matthew chapter 13, and then we'll also look at a verse in Matthew chapter 11. And I'm going to help you to memorize about 10 verses of Scripture in about 30 seconds or so. That'll be interesting. But Matthew chapter 13, verse number 9. Matthew 13, verse number 9. And it says right there, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." That's interesting, isn't it? All right, look if you would in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. Matthew 11, verse 15. And it says there, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Wow, that's about the same thing, doesn't it? All right, well, let's go to Matthew chapter 13 again. Same chapter, verse 43. And he says in the last part of it, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 2, please. Revelation, chapter number 2. I want you to notice verse number 7. "He that hath ears to hear," he that hath an ear, "let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Look at verse number 11. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Look at verse number 17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Look at verse number 29. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Look at verse, chapter 3, verse number 6. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Verse 13. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Look at verse 22. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." I would think that we would kind of get the point that God wants us to pay attention to what He's saying, right? Do you know when God mentions something once in the Bible, it is true and it's important if He only even says it once. But if He says it twice, then it has an extra addition of importance added to it. And if He says it over and over and over again, then we have an indication that God wants us to pay attention to that a whole lot. Let's have a short word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You would be with our students today, and I pray that You would help us to have a great morning. Pray, Lord, that You would help us to learn something today that would be a blessing to their hearts and their lives, and we'll be grateful and thankful for Your help. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, is there anybody here that doesn't have any ears? All right, we all have ears, so that means that we ought to all pay attention, I guess, to what God has to say. And do you know that there's a lot of things that keep a person from paying attention? His mind might be wandering and thinking about something else totally a long ways away. He might be hurting, his body might be aching somewhat, maybe he has a headache, he or she has a headache or something, and so it keeps you from paying close attention. Just all kinds of reasons that you could not pay attention. But what we need to do is we need to pay attention and to listen. And I preached in Mukwonago, Wisconsin, about 5 or 6 years in a row, and I've preached 5 or 6 revivals for them. And I always preach to their Christian school. And so I asked the last time I preached, just a couple of 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, all right, students, what did I preach on 4 years ago when I was in your chapel? Do you know that there were 5 or 6 kids that knew the answer to that question? I said, well, what did I preach on 3 years ago in your chapel? And a bunch, even more, remembered what I preached on 3 years before that. And then I said, all right, what did I preach on 2 years ago? And then last year, and there were students that remembered what I preached on the last time that I was there too. All 4 years. Now, let me ask you, what did Brother Hanks preach on 3 weeks ago? Pretty hard to remember, isn't it? Yeah. And do you know, we have to make ourselves remember. If we're going to remember, we can't remember if we don't just on purpose make ourselves do it. So we better pay attention. You know, a lot of people just don't pay attention. Have you ever been introduced to anybody, Silas, and a minute or a few seconds after they introduced themselves to you, what was their name? Do you know why that happens? Because we don't listen when somebody's being introduced, and we don't let it sink into our brain to where we can remember it. Do you know that almost every service, at least 2 or 3 times a week, I'm preaching to a different congregation. I'm all over the place. I've been in 31 states in the last 5 years, and I've been in Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Kansas just in the last week and a half. So, and I get at a lot of different churches, and I meet a lot of different people. It is very hard for me to remember people's names in churches that I have already been in, and I go back there the next time, and a guy comes up and says, "You remember me?" I say, "Good night. I don't remember you. I'm sorry, you know." But it's hard to remember. But do you know that if I said, "Let me tell you a joke," and guess what? All of your ears perk up. Ah! I like to listen to jokes, so I'm going to pay attention to this joke. We listen to what we want to listen to, and we don't pay any attention if we don't want to listen to it. Have you ever gone to class and the teacher teaches the whole class, but your mind is 1,000 miles away? You're thinking about vacation, or you're thinking about what you're going to do after school, or you're thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch because you didn't eat any breakfast and you're a little bit hungry, you know. You're thinking about all kinds of other things. And then when the teacher gets right to the last little bit, he says, "Now, listen, I hope you paid attention today and took good notes, because we're going to have a test on Friday about what I said today." And you, "Oh, I didn't listen to what he said. I didn't take any notes. I'm not prepared. I'm going to flunk that test." Yep, that happens. But we listen to what we want to listen to. And I'd like to ask you, how well do you listen? Well, there's several different kinds of listeners in the world. One is, the Bible says that there's people that are dull of hearing. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11. Hebrews 5, verse number 11. When I get there, I'll read that verse. And it says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Dull of hearing. In Matthew chapter 13, it says, "Hearing they hear not." They heard it, but their mind was already made up. Maybe somebody's teaching on or talking about something that you are just not interested in, or you already have your mind made up of what you think about that, and you're not going to pay any attention to them. Let's just say, for instance, if you were, if you're premillennial, you ought to be premillennial, and you're thinking that Jesus is coming back before the tribulation period. But some people have been taught postmillennial, and that means that they believe that Jesus is coming back after the tribulation period. Well, they're all mixed up in their scriptures if they believe that. But let's say some of you believe that. Guess what? Whenever, if I was teaching on believing in premillennial, you might say, well, I'm not going to pay attention to him. My mind's already up. I'm already postmillennial, and I'm not going to pay any attention to what he says. So you can do that and then not learn, be dull of hearing. This prevents a person from understanding God's truth and turning from sin or being saved even if their mind is already made up. Maybe they're Roman Catholic and they don't believe what the Baptists teach in the Word of God. They believe what the priest taught them, that they ought to pray to Mary and they ought to do this and that and the other, you know. And guess what? If their mind's already made up, then they're not going to pay any attention to what a Baptist says. They're just going to go in one ear and out the other. It's not going to stick with them. They're not going to pay attention. So let me say that there's people that are dull of hearing. Then there's also people with itching ears. Itching ears. The Bible talks about that in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 4, verse number 3 and 4, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Do you know what people with itching ears? They only listen to that which they're interested in. Only that which is pleasing to their ears will they listen to. They won't pay any attention to anybody else. But the Bible says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so the Bible says, teach the word of God. And so, as I mentioned a minute ago, that if I were telling a joke, you would, man, you'd perk up and you'd listen real close. Because that's something that we like to listen to. But if I said, let me tell you about some subject that you're not interested in at all, then you probably wouldn't even pay any attention at all. Some people only listen to that which they're interested in. And then there's also kind of listener is those that listen with a pure and noble heart. In the book of Luke chapter 8, verse number 15 is speaking of these. Luke chapter 8, verse number 15. Read it as soon as I get to it. Luke 8, verse number 15. And he says there, but that on the good ground are they with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Okay? They receive the word of God with all readiness of mind and so on. And so that's the kind of listener that we all should be, to listen to the word of God as it's being taught and listen to your teachers as they teach and so on. And you'll make better grades if you do. You will learn a lot more if you do. You will be appreciated more by the teachers if you do. There's a lot of advantages to listening closely, but there's a whole ton of disadvantages if you don't listen closely to what's being taught. So there's some importance. Why in the world should I listen to what's being taught? Well, it's essential in order for you to get the most blessings out of life. If you want to be blessed and if you want to get things that are helpful and advantageous to you, it's important to listen. There are wonderful things to learn in school. There's wonderful things that can help you in life in school. Wonderful things that can help you to be a success in life in school. One of the things that is taught at Heritage Christian Academy or Heritage Christian Heritage Baptist School, one of the things that is taught here is how to work hard. How to work hard. Everybody ought to learn to work hard. Because you will accomplish 10 times more in life if you learn to work hard than if you're lazy. You ought to strive to work hard. My dad taught me to work hard when I was little. He would sometimes get me up at 4:30 in the morning. We'd drive, get in the car or a pickup truck, and we'd drive out to the farm and get on a tractor, and it just barely getting light, and drive the tractor all morning long. And the only reason that we would stop driving the tractor is if it's dinner time, or if we ran out of gas, or if something broke on the equipment that we were using in the field. But we just worked and worked and worked and worked and didn't stop for anything. So that's the kind of listener that you should be, somebody that receives the Word of God with all readiness of mind. Okay? It's essential to being blessed, and there are a lot of wonderful, wonderful things to learn. Now, we miss out on blessings if we don't listen carefully. You'll miss out on a lot of things if you don't listen carefully. Now, it's essential to getting saved. If you don't pay attention to what the Bible teaches about getting saved, then you won't learn how to get saved. You might have to hear it 200 or 300 times before you finally pay close enough attention to really get it. But if you listen closely, then you will be able to get it pretty quick. And that'll keep you from going to hell if you get saved. Romans chapter 16 and 17, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto all that believe it, to the Jew first, also to the Greek," and so on in Romans. Now, let me ask you, does your listening help your faith, or does it hinder your faith whenever you listen? So, listening is essential to bringing forth fruit in your life. Let's say if you were going to go soul winning and you were going to tell somebody about Jesus and tell them how to get saved, but the class that your teacher taught on how to win a soul to Christ, you didn't pay any attention. And so you're out there talking to somebody and you're supposed to tell them how to get saved, but you don't even know how to tell them how to get saved because you didn't pay any attention. So it's important. Or perhaps maybe there's a class that's taught on something and the teacher has a question on her test about what she taught, but you didn't pay attention to that part because your mind was somewhere else. Then you're going to miss the question. You're going to read the question. You say, "Oh man, I don't know the answer to that," because you didn't pay any attention in class. Now folks, it is so important that you listen to what's going on and listen to the teacher as they teach. Actually, when you don't listen good, it's the very first step to getting backslidden away from God. How many of you believe that Brother Hanks prays and asks God what he ought to preach and teach on? How many of you believe that? All right. Now, he has prayed and sought God's guidance of what he's going to teach on. And so he's up here preaching, but your mind is somewhere else and you're not paying any attention. But God said to Brother Hanks, "You need to preach on this because some of those students need this point right here." But you're not listening and you don't get what he's teaching that God told him to teach. And so you didn't pay any attention and you didn't get it. Then, in other words, he's failed in his preaching because you just didn't listen. You didn't listen to what he had to say. Do you know, in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 41, it says, "The men of Nineveh repented after hearing just one lesson or message." The men of Nineveh repented after hearing one message from Jonah. They put on sackcloth and ashes and repented and told God that they were sorry. And do you know that sometimes we will reject the Word of God after hearing it multitudes of times? We'll hear it over and over and over again, and we still don't let it sink into our heart after hearing it many times. Isn't it commendable for the Ninevites that they repented? God was going to destroy their city like he did Sodom. He was going to destroy their city and kill them all. But they all put on sackcloth and ashes and repented because they paid attention to what Jonah said. They repented. They got things right with God. And God didn't kill them then. God forgave them. And folks, if we will pay attention, we will get tremendous advantages and help and blessings from God if we will pay attention to the ones that are speaking. Now, there's some things that you can do to help you to listen better. You want to know what some of those are? Okay, I'm glad you want to know. Okay, make listening an act of worship and do it on purpose. Make listening an act of worship and doing it on purpose. You can be pleasing to God if you will make up your mind that you're going to listen to what the preacher says or what the teacher says and so on. How you listen to God's word being read and preached is an indication of your devotion to the Lord. Okay? Then also, think of how you would listen if some great person were speaking. Now, for instance, let's just say the Lord Jesus Christ decided that he was going to visit Heritage Baptist Academy today. And Jesus Christ is up here speaking. I'll bet you that you would listen so close that after the service was over and after Jesus quit speaking, you could go outside and just about tell everything that Jesus said, word for word. You could just about quote everything that Jesus said. Why? Because he is so important. He's our Savior. He's the one that said, let there be light, and there was light. He's the one that created the world. I mean, God did that. And we would think, man, this is important. What if I said, well, students, I have a message that Jesus Christ gave me, and he wants me to tell you the message that he gave me. Whoa. You might want to listen a lot better if you know that the message that I am delivering came from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that whenever a preacher comes before you and speaks, he ought to, number one, he ought to be prepared. Number two, he ought to spend time praying and seeking God's guidance on what he's supposed to teach or preach on. And so, with all of those things in mind, whenever the preacher starts speaking or the teacher starts teaching, then our job is to listen closely and get as much as we possibly can from what's being said, and it'll help us a whole lot. And then I'd like to mention that it's so important that whenever somebody is speaking, that you look at the person that's speaking. You can remember more of what you're looking at, and you're looking at the preacher or the teacher, than if you're not paying any attention, you're not looking. Because when you're not looking, then your mind seems to wander. And you start thinking, I wonder how many lights are in this auditorium. And then you count all the lights. But when you're counting the lights, you didn't hear anything that the preacher said. Or they just got new pews. I wonder how many pews are in here. And then you start counting all the pews. You might get smart and know how many pews there are, but you're not going to learn what the teacher is teaching or teacher is preaching when you're in class. And so make sure that you look at the person when they're speaking. If you were to introduce yourself to me and I say, what's your name, young man? Nehemiah. Okay, Nehemiah. My name, many kids your age call me Pastor B because they can't remember my last name. So my name's Pastor B to you, okay? And your name's Nehemiah. All right, I'll try to remember that, Nehemiah. Now, do you know that he's liable to remember that a whole lot better because he was looking at me when I was speaking? Have you ever talked to anybody and they're not even looking at you, they're looking at somebody else? Now, when I was pastoring, I pastored 46 years. And when a visitor would come to church, I would know it immediately. I was, oh, there's a visitor. And I would go up and talk to them, shake their hand and stuff like that. But when services were over and everybody's leaving, then I would pay attention where that visitor is and make sure that I didn't let them get out without me talking to them and welcoming them to church that day. I would make it a point to do that. And so let's say if our sister here was leaving about the same time, and now the next person in line is the visitor. And so she's talking to me, and I am paying attention to that visitor because I don't want them to get away without me talking to them and trying to welcome them back. You might think, well, that's a good thing. No, not if she's telling me something important. And so she's talking to me and she's saying, "Preacher, I want you to pray for my Uncle Joe. He's going to die in a few days of cancer and he's not saved." You know, or something, you know. She's telling me something important. But I don't pay much attention because I'm thinking of that visitor over there. You know, that's not right. I shouldn't do that. So when I was pastoring, I had to actually make myself pay attention to who I was talking to rather than thinking about the visitor that was going to be next in line. You see what I mean? So you've got to pay close attention and look at the person that's talking to you, and it'll help. Okay? Listen from the first to the last. Did you ever hear a preacher preach, and then all of a sudden he says, "And now for my last point." You ever hear that? Or, "I'm almost finished." Guess what happens? A bunch of people start thinking, "He's about done, so I need to get my jacket on, so I'm ready to go. I need to put my notes away, so I'm ready to go. I need to, think about going and getting my children out of the nursery, you know, and be ready to go." And so the last part of the message is generally the most important part of the message. And they're not paying attention because they're getting ready to go. So it's important to listen from the first to the last. The whole thing. Listen to all that the teacher or the preacher has to say. A lot of times the last thing the teacher will say is, "Okay, students, and now for our next class, you need to read chapter 4. But you were getting ready to go, and you didn't hear the teacher say, "Read chapter 4. And so you come to class the next day, or next class time, and she says, "All right, how many of you read chapter 4? You say, "Well, I didn't know I was supposed to read chapter 4. "So, well, I told you, and, well, I didn't hear you." You know why you didn't hear? Because you were getting ready to go. Because that was one of the last things the teacher said before the class was over. So pay attention all the way through. And that's the same thing is true when the preacher's preaching. If the preacher happens to say, "And now for my last point," don't use that as an excuse to turn your mind off and start getting ready to go. Use that as an excuse, "Well, if he's almost finished, then I need to pay very close attention to the last things that he's saying in the message today." Okay? So a listener must listen to all parts in order for them to understand. Did you ever get anything from the store and you brought it home and you find out when you open it up that it's not put together? And so you think, "Oh, this looks pretty simple." And so you fiddle around with it for 30 or 40 minutes trying to put the thing together. And then you say, "I guess I better read the directions." And so you get the directions out of the box and you start reading the directions and you say, "Oh, that looks pretty easy." Yeah, when you read the directions, you can figure it out. And folks, when the Bible has the instructions of how we ought to live and how we ought to act and what we ought to do, what we ought to not do, then we ought to pay attention to what the Bible says about that. Listen to the whole thing. God will bless you for that. Then also, I'd like to mention, if a scripture is given, it's good to read along in your Bible with the scripture in your mind so that you will be more likely to remember what is preached. Now, let's just say that a year from now, I come back and preach to your chapel again. And then I say, before I preach, let me ask you, what did I preach on the last time I was here? What would you say? What would you say? Yeah. What am I preaching on? Listening. Okay, that's what you would say if you remembered, right? Otherwise, you say, oh, I don't know. But wouldn't it be great? You know what I did there in McQuanago? I gave every person that knew what I preached on a quarter. I was flipping quarters all over the place. And I ran out of quarters. And then somebody in the church that night, they heard about it, and they gave me a whole roll of $10 worth of quarters, 40 quarters they gave me, so I could finish giving quarters to the ones that knew what I preached on. And so praise the Lord for that. But it's important that you read along in your Bible while the scripture is being read, and then you'll be more likely to get the point and get what you need out of that scripture when you read along in the Word of God. Okay? Also, listen with a willingness to accept and believe what is shown to you out of God's Word. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. And it says in that verse, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So some people hear what the Word of God says, but they don't pay much attention because they don't believe the Word of God. Tell you what, we ought to believe the Bible. Believe what it says and let it strengthen you in your life if you read the Word of God and believe what it says. And then listen with a mind to act. Listen with a mind to act. If the preacher says something that is very good to remember, and something good for your life, then you ought to say, well, I'm going to make a change in my life so I can obey what the Word of God says. Now, for instance, today, you ought to make up your mind that by the grace of God, I'm going to start paying better attention when the teacher is teaching and when the preacher is preaching. I'm going to take action. I'm going to listen better. I'm going to pay attention. You heard about people that were so poor they couldn't pay attention, haven't you? You remember that? Okay. Alrighty. So hearing must be accompanied by doing something. And look, if you would, at James chapter number 1, verse 22. James 1, verse number 22. And James 1, verse number 22, and he says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Okay, so learning must be accompanied by action, putting to action. Say if the preacher's preaching on soul winning, then you ought to decide in your heart that you're going to do a better job of soul winning. Let's say the preacher's on preaching on letting the Holy Spirit lead you to somebody that's looking for the Lord, then you need to pray that way. For instance, this morning I prayed and said, Lord, I don't know who in Lawrence needs the Lord, God, but if you would lead somebody in Lawrence that's looking for you by my pathway, I'll try to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you lead me to them, and I'll talk to them about you and try to win them to Christ. Okay? I prayed that this morning. And so, anyway, you want to put to action the things that the preacher preaches on so that you can improve in your life. Is there ever a time when God doesn't pay any attention? Well, the obvious answer is no, but the right answer is yes. When our sins are between us and God, God doesn't pay much attention to us until we want to get those sins forgiven and get right with God. Okay, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 is a good verse to tell about that. But we can take care of that problem by receiving God's mercy. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants to forgive you of your sin. God wants to make things right. Throughout my life, many people have come to me and said, "Preacher, could you pray for me? Because it doesn't seem that my prayers are getting any further than the ceiling." Do you know what that tells me? It tells me that they have some things in their life that are sinful. And their prayers aren't getting to God because they have sin between them and God. And so I talk to them about that and say, "Well, what is there in your life that's wicked and terrible and ungodly that's keeping your prayers from going through the ceiling to the Lord?" They said, "Well, there's nothing in my life." I said, No. "No, you don't have to tell me what your sin is. But I'll tell you why you're not getting your prayers answered and why God's not hearing your prayer. It's because there's something in your life that's keeping you from having a good relationship and talking to God." And so if you don't think that your prayers are getting very far, you better search your life out and figure out what kind of things are bad in your life and get those things right with the Lord. And God will bless you then. So there is a time when God does not listen to you. In Luke chapter 9, verse number 35, the Bible says, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Listen to the Lord. And that's why it's nice when you have a Bible that's a red letter edition, like Nehemiah's right there. It's red letters, see? And that everything that's in red letters, that's something that Jesus actually said himself. And so you say, "Man, I need to pay attention to this. Jesus said this when he was upon the earth. He said it. And so I need to pay attention to that." Okay? Have you ever heeded the Lord by obeying his word? Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, he said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Did your mom or dad ever say, "I told you a dozen times not to do that"? Your parents ever said that? Well, do you know what? Whether they told you 10 times or 30 times or whatever is not the important thing, but they have told you a bunch of times. And the Lord Jesus, he said, and people teach that the key to learning is repetition. And so when you hear something taught or and so on over and over and over again, it must be important. And we need to start paying attention to what's being taught. And so when your teacher is teaching, maybe you're tired. Maybe your stomach's a little upset. Maybe you're not in the mood to listen very much. But what you got to do is get that out of your mind and change your thought process and say, "I've got to listen to what the teacher says today. I've got to pay attention to what she says. I've got to pay attention to what he says, because it may be very important. It may be important for several reasons. It may help me to pass the test that they're going to give. It may help me in life to make right decisions in my life. It may help me with a lot of stuff if I'll just listen to what the teacher said." So pay close attention. Pay close attention. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And so when the preacher preaches, I have a message I preach once in a while on why don't you use the altar? Why don't you use the altar? You know, I pastored, as I mentioned a minute ago, 46 years. And I pastored in Wisconsin, in New York, 14 years at the Maranatha Baptist Church. And there were people that were members of our church for the whole 14 years that I was there. And never one time, not one time in 14 years, did they ever come to the altar and spend any time in prayer with the Lord. He said, boy, they must have been good Christians. No, they probably weren't good Christians. Usually the best Christians are the ones that come to the altar and pray and talk to God. And get little things straightened out. We say in our life, we say, keep short accounts with the Lord. In other words, if you have a little bitty sin in your life, get it right with God right now. Right now, right now, right now. Let's say if you had a little argument with your friend sitting next to you, and you said, mind your own business, smarty. And that's all you said. And then you went your way. And the Lord tapped you on your shoulder and said, you were pretty mean to your friend. You need to get that right with me and with her. See? And God convicts you. Now, it's not a big sin. And you'll probably make it through life if you never said another word to her your whole life. But it'd be better to have a good relationship with the Lord. And so the Lord says, you better go tell her you're sorry. And then put actions to what God says to your heart. Go get it right with her. And then don't do it again. Amen. And ask God to forgive you and make it right with the Lord. Keep short accounts with God. And then you don't get big accounts. Let's just say if I came up to you and said, would you loan me a dollar? And you say, well, sure, preacher, I'll loan you a dollar. And then tomorrow I say, would you loan me another dollar? And then you loan me another dollar. And then later on I come back and say, would you loan me another dollar? And then you loan me another dollar. And I keep doing that for a while. Pretty soon I've got a whole bunch of dollars that I had borrowed from her. And then she comes and says, you know what? It'd be a good idea if you would pay me back some of those dollars you borrowed from me. I said, how many I owe you? And she said, 322. And I said, good night. I don't have that kind of money. I don't have that much money. And you have a hard time paying back a big debt if you don't pay the little bitty ones. You see what I mean? So if I paid her back the dollar I borrowed the first time, then the next time I borrowed a dollar, I would only owe her $1. And then I pay her back that dollar. And let me say that whenever you have something in your life that's not right with God, best thing to do is to pray and say, Jesus, would you forgive me for what I did and help me to not do that anymore? God, I'm so sorry. And you get it right with God real quick, then you don't have any problems. You know, I used to think that I would get everything right with God and then I come to church and just enjoy church and God wouldn't even speak to me then because I'd have everything right with the Lord. But guess what? That doesn't work that way. When you get everything right with God and you say, boy, everything's right between me and the Lord, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. And you come to church and you know what the Lord does? He convicts you about something that He has never convicted you about before. And then, what does He do? You get everything right, and then what He does is He turns the microscope up a little bit. He starts examining your life a little bit closer. And then you have to get little things right with God. Do you know that there's some things that I don't do that maybe you do and you have no problem with it? You say, well, give me okay, I'll give you an example. I don't eat Tootsie Roll Pops outside. You know why? Because the little stick sticking out of a Tootsie Roll Pop might look like a cigarette to somebody. And they're driving by and they say, oh, Pastor Bottrell smoking a cigarette. I saw him. Well, I wasn't smoking a cigarette. I was eating a Tootsie Roll Pop and sticking out my mouth. And you say, well, I don't care what people think. I'm going to eat them anyway. Well, that's because you're not a very good Christian then. If you don't let God speak to you about stuff like that. You say, well, so you don't eat any Tootsie Roll Pops? Oh, yeah, I eat them. I just break the stick off and then throw it in. That way somebody outside doesn't think that I'm smoking a cigarette. I don't want anybody thinking bad about Pastor Bottrell. So I try to do what I'm supposed to do. And now, for instance, I'm not going to come to church with my tie tied way up here like this. You know why? Because it looks dumb. You know? And I don't want to be preaching and you're sitting there thinking,
Boy, that preacher sure is dumb. Look how he's wearing his tie. He sure is dumb.
No, I don't want you thinking that. And so I have it down. It's supposed to be right about your belt. It's where you're supposed to be. Now, when you got a big tummy like me, it's pretty hard sometimes, you know, because your trousers then stick down below your belt and then the tie is a little bit shorter or something. And so I have to tie it a little bit longer. And so when you have a bigger tummy like me, then you got to have your tie tied just a little bit longer than what normal people do. But what I'm saying is God speaks to me about little things. He says, hey, preacher, you need to make sure that your shoes are shined. Guess what? Everybody looks at my shoes just like that. And then, preacher, you better make sure that there's nothing on your jacket, no spots and stuff like that. And you better make sure there's no grease spots on your tie. Why? Because people are going to look at stuff like that when you're preaching and say, man, he's got a spot on his tie. Doesn't he ever pay attention to the spots on his tie? That sure is dumb. He ought to have enough brains to wash it, get a clean tie on. And what happens is you don't pay any attention to what's being preached because you're looking at the spot on the preacher's tie. So I try to make sure that I don't have it. Is there a spot on my tie? I guess not. You gotta pay attention to how you dress and make sure that things match the best that you possibly can. And so on, so that it's not something that doesn't take away from the preaching and teaching that I'm trying to do. So people will pay a lot more attention if you're appropriate and you're proper. Well, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Think about listening. Listening. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Could we have every head bowed, please, and every eye closed?